Hey, welcome, Doug, to this interview series, the Next Economy Now podcast. And you know, for listeners, I think one of the reasons I'm excited about Clearinghouse CDFI is that you're a lot different than other financial institutions. And it seems like, I'm not sure if this is maybe one of the unintended, I mean, it was an explicit outcome in the 40s and 50s with redlining, but it seems like one of the unintended outcomes of this sort of very conservative lending that banks do is that it sort of marginalizes historically disenfranchised communities. Is that sort of what you've seen over the past?
Yeah, I think traditionally that has been the case. And I think it was much, much worse in the 40s, 50s, and the 60s prior to CRA legislation. I think CRA legislation, in my mind, has been one of the best things that's ever occurred in this country. And what's really funny, a lot of people don't realize this or understand, but CRA legislation was brought about by a complaint made by an Anglo family in Chicago that had a loan from a bank. And when their grown-up daughter was getting married, they wanted her to live in the same neighborhood they had lived in. And they had paid off their mortgage, husband and wife. They wanted to help their grown daughter and her new husband get a home. And so they went to the bank that they had, you know, been banking with for years and years and years, and said, we want to help our daughter buy a home near us. We can look after the kids. And the bank simply said to them, ooh, you know, we're no longer making loans in that area. And the reason was, and I'm sure it was not explicitly said, but the reason was is that that neighborhood had changed demographically, and there were more people of color in that neighborhood. And so, you know, all of a sudden you had this situation where, you know, they're just saying, you know, we're not even going to consider a loan because of where it's located. And I think to a large extent that has changed. There are still communities that lack access to credit, but that's where I think CDFIs really make a difference. And I think that's where we thrive, and that's where we want to be. That's where we should be. And one of the great things about CRA is that, you know, banks can get credit for investing in CDFIs that are doing work in these areas without themselves having to make loans in those areas.
Yeah. Could you describe what CRA is, just for folks who don't know it, and maybe what the requirements of the legislation are?
Well, CRA basically says that banks have to make loans in the same geographical areas where they have branches or where they are taking deposits. So if you have a, you know, three branches and you have one, say, in Palos Verdes and one in Marin County and one in East Oakland, and you're taking deposits at all of those three branches. But when you look at your loans, you're only making them in Palos Verdes in Marin County. You're not making loans in East Oakland. You have violated CRA because you are not making loans in the geographic area where you're taking deposits. And so that is really how the law was set up. The banks are required to do both lending, they have an investment, and a service test. And CRA asked the banks to perform, to provide reports to their regulators on how active and how involved they are in the areas around where their branches are. One of the, if I could just go on and talk about one of my pet peeves, is that, you know, we do have some branch, some banks, and I probably shouldn't name them, but I will, but, you know, State Farm Bank has one branch, and it's in Bloomington, Illinois. Yet they through their network of brokers take deposits throughout the country. And so, you know, they have a CRA assessment area that's in one little small town in Illinois. And I think, you know, clearly, you know, they've kind of, I don't want to say they've figured it out, but their structure does not require them to do CRA throughout the country. And that's one of the flaws of CRA, one of the things that some of us are trying to get amended or updated to be a little bit stronger.
And with something like, let's say, Wells Fargo or Chase, do they actually do the loans that you would do, or do they partner with you to make those loans for them?
You know, I would say a lot of the big banks are making loans in low and moderate income communities, and they're certainly trying to. some of the big banks do, you know, partner and work with us, but many of them have their own efforts. I think where CDFIs really can make a difference is partnering with those middle-sized and smaller community banks that don't have the personnel or the expertise to really get out and find projects in low and moderate income community or communities of color. And those tend to be the banks that we have probably deeper and stronger relationships with. And that's not to badmouth the big banks, but they are doing a lot on their own. A lot of the big banks have staffs, large staffs, whose sole purpose is to go out and find loans in low and moderate income communities and communities of color.
Got it. And where can folks learn more about Clearinghouse and, you know, say if there's any investors who are interested, what's the best way for them to get in contact?
We have a great website that has a ton of information, including our financials. It is www.ccdfi.com. Again, that's ccdfi.com. And a lot of information there. There's contact numbers. I'd be happy to talk to anybody that is serious about investing or working with us. And also, you know, we're looking for projects to lend, you know, good projects. And so, and our service area is California, Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, and all of Indian country throughout the United States. So if anyone is aware of an unmet credit need that has a good community impact, or, you know, often our loans are made to entrepreneurs, people of color, or members of groups that have been disenfranchised. And if anyone is aware of loans, boy, we'd love to hear from them as well.